Hello and welcome to Tantrum Hour Report on CHMA 106.9 FM, broadcasting from Sackville, New Brunswick, in the heart of the Maritimes, on the traditional lands of the Mi'kmaq people, unceded in treaties of peace and friendship first signed with settlers in 1725. I'm Erica Butler. It's Wednesday, August 11th. Coming up on today's show, Meg Cunningham talks with director Valley Stearns and actor Morgan Grant about their production, A Banishment of Poets, which opens Thursday afternoon in Bill Johnstone Memorial Park as part of the Festival by the Marsh. We check in with pharmacist Charles Beaver about how the vaccination rollout in Sackville is going. Things have slowed down, but the Corner Drug is still taking appointments and hosting a walk-in clinic this Thursday. That's coming up right after these local news updates. The Sackville Hospital emergency room was closed last night due to a shortage of available nurses. The ER shut down at 7 p.m. and reopened this morning at 8 a.m. Horizon Health Network released the news just before 3 p.m. in the afternoon on Tuesday and spread the word on social media. Goya's Pizza was the location of a potential public exposure of coronavirus back on the afternoon of August 1st. Yesterday, the restaurant posted a note to their social media feed saying that all their employees have since been tested and all results were negative. The note also said the shop took extra measures to sanitize in the wake of the potential exposure. With testing, extra cleaning, and the 10 days since the possible exposure, it's safe to say that Goya's is now in the clear. The town of Sackville got stuck with a nasty cleanup job recently after unknown individuals dumped a black tar-like substance near the covered bridge on the High Marsh Road. Town engineer Dwayne Acton told council on Monday that he received a call from the Department of Environment, who in turn had been tipped off by a resident about potentially hazardous material dumped on the shoulder of the road.
We went out and investigated it, and the Department of Environment basically say this is on town property, therefore town cleans it up. So we took it seriously, obviously, and went out, I believe, the next morning with our excavator, and we contained the material, which looked like old tar, or originally they had indicated used oil, but it looked like a tar material that somebody would put on driveways when they do driveway sealing. There was a bunch of that dumped there, so we were able to contain it, and we have to scoop that up and try to get all of the material. Obviously, we trucked it with our dump truck to Moncton to dispose of it properly at a proper facility in Moncton. So it was unfortunate that somebody did that, and the Department of Environment was definitely looking for the town of Sackville to clean that up where it was on our property, and obviously no one knew or came forward as to who put it there and how it got there.
Acton said the Department of Environment didn't indicate it would investigate the dump site and was mainly concerned that the town clean up the spill in a timely manner. Acton said the town didn't delay in cleaning it up, especially since it was near a waterway at the covered bridge. The town of Sackville has released some of the results of its 2021 residents survey. 323 people responded to the survey, and of those, 74% said they were satisfied with the quality of life in Sackville. 61% of respondents said they were satisfied with their customer service experience with town staff and council. Only 41% of respondents said they were satisfied with the town's leadership and budget processes. The top three priorities recommended by respondents are economic development and jobs, climate change and environmental sustainability, and COVID recovery for small businesses. Respondents said the top two areas that could improve were police services and transparency. The town is now conducting a follow-up survey and is asking for residents to fill out a new survey by August 14th. As the number of vaccinated people in New Brunswick goes up, the rate at which people are getting vaccinated is going down, and the province is inching ever so slowly towards the public health goal of 75% of eligible people vaccinated with two doses of a COVID-19 vaccine. The Corner Drug Store has played a key role in the vaccine rollout in Sackville, hosting several mass clinics and, more recently, hosting walk-in clinic days where people can show up for a vaccine without an appointment. This Thursday, Corner Drug is open again to walk-in vaccinations. I called up pharmacist owner Charles Beaver to find out more.
Charles Beaver, thanks for joining us.
I'm glad to be here, Erica.
So you have a walk-in clinic scheduled for this Thursday, and you're also taking appointments for Thursday. Tell us a bit about what's going on at the Corner Drug.
Yes. Thursday the 12th, we have walk-in and appointments available from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Some appointments will be booked a little later than that, but we'll be wrapping up shortly after 6. It's a Pfizer clinic, so anyone age 12 and over for dose 1 or dose 2, 28 days following their first dose or more, can participate.
And province-wide, we can see the numbers are starting to really slow down in terms of who's getting vaccinated. So I guess the rush is over, would you say?
Yes, the large numbers of people and difficulty managing the volumes are over. Now, this is almost even more important work, really, because we need to fill in the gaps of folks that didn't get a first dose even yet, or have yet to receive their second dose, since we know that the Delta variant is circulating and our case counts are getting higher here in New Brunswick. I think it's more urgent than ever that folks act now.
As students return, at the end of this month and into September, there could be an increased demand there. Are you coordinating with Mount Allison to offer some clinics?
Yes, we are. We're working with Mount Allison to make times and dates available that work for their students. There are several dozen international students arriving that will be finished isolation in another week, 10 days, I believe. And then we'll be able to start the vaccination process. That's a good reminder that, if someone has an NB Medicare card, it's great to bring it along. And if they don't, either because they might have lost their Medicare card or are from a different jurisdiction or country, doesn't matter. We can take care of everyone. So all should feel welcome.
Is it safe to say that Corner Drug will be trying to offer appointments at least, a day a week for the foreseeable future until our numbers get a bit higher?
Oh, yes, we'll do everything we can. We're now looking at different models, perhaps shorter clinics, a couple of days of the week. Folks who receive Moderna as their first dose want to receive Moderna as their second dose. So we're collecting up all those and trying to do them in groups of 15, since the vaccine comes in vials of 15. The best way for anybody seeking a vaccination to get that done as efficiently as possible is to register at www.thecornerdrugstore.ca, and then we can reach out to them with times and find something that works for them.
Now, province-wide, there's still a bit of a gap between those who have their first dose and those who have gotten two doses. Do you think it's just a convenience problem, like just people just trying to get around to it? It would seem that it's not necessarily vaccine hesitancy because it's the people who've gotten their first dose.
Yes.
What do you see as the challenges there?
I think every story is unique, really. It is summertime, although I eat, sleep, and breathe vaccinations, not everybody thinks about them all day, every day. We have more exciting things to do this time of the year. However, we are offering as many convenient times as possible to make it work for anybody, including drop-ins, which really seem to work out well for a lot of folks, and we're still seeing people coming for first and second doses when we offer drop-in days, as well as booked appointments.
So you are still seeing people come in for first dose. I see that number is down to a trickle provincially, but interesting that there's still people coming in town to get their first dose.
Absolutely. You know, they're, like I said, every story is different. You know, some people just, you know, didn't get around to it. Some, you know, have a child turning age 12 and decided that, you know, they wanted to do this together, you know, and then, yeah, some come from other countries where vaccines aren't so readily available and are excited to be able to be fully vaccinated here in Canada.
All right. So people can drop in or make an appointment for this Thursday, and they can expect to have the opportunity in the coming weeks as well. For, I guess, this Thursday, you said Pfizer, and in future weeks, there will be Moderna available as well.
Absolutely. There's and Pfizer every week as well. You know, the supply is good. We are working it logistically so that we minimize waste, and that's why we try to do Moderna and chunks of 15, but Pfizer is only a vial of 6 doses. So we're able to do some vaccination most days of the week. You know, so if people have a unique circumstance, certainly give us a call and we'll do our best to work, you know, work with what time and availability they have.
It's possible to call now, right? The call volumes have slowed down enough that you're not overwhelmed anymore.
That's true, yes. I mean, if people want to make a normal booked appointment, certainly using the website, www.thecornerdrugstore.ca is very efficient and can be done after hours or any time. And if a person has, you know, scheduling uniqueness that they, you know, need to work around, then certainly I'd encourage them to give us a call, 536-2255. So that, you know, we can put our heads together, and we pretty much always find a time that will work for everyone.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Charles. We appreciate everything you're doing over there.
It's an absolute pleasure, and thank you for calling.
That was Charles Beaver of the Corner Drugstore in Sackville. As of August 10th, there are also appointments available at the Jean Coutu Pharmacy in Sackville, the Village Pharmacy in Port Elgin, and Pharmacy Memram Cook in, of course, Memram Cook. The Vitalité Health Network has also scheduled another mass vaccination clinic at the Tantramar Civic Center in 2 weeks' time on Thursday, August 26th. The Bill Johnstone Memorial Park Bandstand will be transformed into an outdoor stage this Thursday afternoon for a production of A Banishment of Poets. The play was conceptualized during a sort of real-life banishment of thespians just months ago. During the thick of the COVID-19 pandemic, all theaters have been collecting dust for the sake of social distancing. Director Valley Stearns and writer Sue Rose are proud to present this play outdoors among the water park and busy Main Street. Here is Valley Stearns chatting with CHMA's Meg Cunningham at a picnic table in the park.
So, this play really is a child of COVID, because last year, just after COVID struck and it looked like there was going to be no theater ever again, I went to my good friend, a local playwright, Sue Rose, and I said to her, "You wouldn't happen to have a play where everybody's in masks, do you?" And we were out walking in the Waterfowl Park, and she looked at me and she said, "No, but I think I should. I'm going to write one." And so she went home and wrote A Banishment of Poets. Okay. And at that time, my idea was, well, everybody could be in face coverings, you know, covering your nose and your mouth. And but we could decorate them and we could have fun with it, like a play with masks. But that turned out to be impractical. And anyways, we went from yellow to orange to red. And so it just had, the whole thing had to be canceled. So this year I was like, I don't want to go through that again. But wouldn't it be great to do it outside in the park? And so Stephen, our artistic director, talked to Sue and said, can you turn it into a children's play? So she did, and really it's a play for the whole family, because it was for adults and it still is for adults, but we've added things like clowns and music and bubbles and so on. So it really is a lot of fun.
Okay. Are you, now that you're here at the bandstand and you see everything that's going around, like we just had a tractor roll by and there's kids.
Yeah.
How are you feeling with all the distractions around?
I'm feeling really, really good.
Okay.
So I've told the actors that whenever the audience laughs, you know, you do a natural little pause until the laughter subsides. Do the same thing when a motorcycle or an ambulance goes by. Just, hold until the sound goes by. I'm sort of trying to do that, but there's a lot of noise today.
Don't worry about it.
And they do that, and it's so professional, right? It's just, you know, you stop, the ambulance goes on by, and then they pick up again. But the play is about a traveling group of street performers going to this small medieval town, hoping to perform at the Festival of Festivals. And so our group is really a traveling group of street park performers,
yeah,
if you will.
Yeah.
So the play and the context mirror,
wow,
each other in a really good way. And so every performance, we bring our set, such as it is. We bring all our costumes, all our props, we set up. And then as the park is, and as the noises are, we start performing at 3 o'clock. And at 3 o'clock.
You have, I understand, a 10-year-old in your cast. How has it been working with such a young actor?
She is fabulous. Her name is Chloe Roness Allen. And she's 10. And her role is the clown's apprentice. Now, I made up this role.
Okay.
The script calls for a clown, but we've got a clown and a clown's apprentice. And the reason why I did that was because of the sound effects. And I didn't want them, I wanted them to be live sound effects. I didn't want it to be canned sound effects. And then her role kind of grew from there. So she's her own character. She even has her own line. She has a single line. And she is a really talented young girl and does a fabulous job. And I don't think a children's play would be complete without a child actor. And we're very lucky to have Chloe.
Normally, I suppose, in theater productions, there are wings where actors can wait for their cue and such, and like,
yeah,
props people are. Where do they go when it's outside?
So we have a tent that's put up for our backstage behind the bandstand, and we will have wings.
Okay.
We have a minimal set, and so we've got a flat that's going to be put up on either side of the bandstand. Yeah, for entrances and exits. And so one side is the town gate, and the other side is the mayor's mansion. No, we have a very talented cast. So I'm looking for them to sing that. I'm really looking forward to having this play showcased. Sue Rose is a very talented playwright, very prolific, and she's been writing and putting on plays locally for the past couple of years. The play has really good structure. The play has a really good back and forth. So it's very clever. So I'm really, and one of the special features of our show is we have a live musician, Chris Williams, who's on the piccolo, and he's playing medieval tunes that set the tone. One of the themes of the play is not having a permanent venue, a permanent theater space. And so they're forced to travel from town to town instead, right? And it's kind of interesting because Performers Theater Company, one of our biggest ongoing challenges is finding space to perform, to rehearse, and to store props and costumes and so on. And so we've been kind of squatting at different locations, and we have a studio presently, but wouldn't it be wonderful if Sackville had an actual theater for the performing arts?
Actor Morgan Grant also joined the conversation to talk about how it feels not only to act again, but to do it outside.
Well, I'm playing Marcus Pint, which is the sort of main antagonist of the whole series. well, series, just show, really. For the most part, I just stick to on-stage work, but I try to help out props as much as I can and with setup and teardown and all of that stuff. But on paper, it's mostly just the performing.
Totally. Tell me about your character.
Yeah, he's Marcus Pint, and he is the sheriff of the town working directly under the mayor. But he's very greedy, we'll say.
Okay.
So he's trying to rise above his position very quickly, and by doing that, he's trying to sort of sabotage the mayor and destroy the local theater troupe in town.
Okay.
And so sort of this whole plot unfolds. With him stealing from the mayor and then trying to pin it on the players.
Okay. How long have you been rehearsing for this play?
Ooh, it's probably been about 2-3 months.
Okay.
Like, we've been at it for a while. I had auditioned for it at the same time that I auditioned for Midsummer Night's Dream, which is coming up soon as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's been an interesting rehearsal process. It was a little hectic for a while, but we got very focused and we're in good shape, I'd say.
Good, I'm glad.
Yeah.
So that means if it's been for a couple of months, it's been during a time where mask wearing was a little more mandatory than it is right now.
Yes.
How did you rehearse during more tighter COVID restrictions?
We were always wearing masks,
okay,
like the entire time. Even after those restrictions started loosening, we kept masks on until we sort of entered the green, and then it was up to personal preference.
Okay.
So for the most part, most of rehearsals, we have all been masked as we were working on it.
Okay, so yeah. As an actor, how has it been rehearsing with something that conceals like 60% of your face?
It's been quite difficult.
Yeah.
Because, you know, with the director sitting there and trying to take notes, it's very hard to give anything visually when most of the face is covered up, and projection is very hindered when you have something right over your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite interesting. So for the most part, while we were wearing masks, we sort of tried to keep those notes to a minimum since
mm-hmm.
there's nothing we could do about it. Then once the restrictions loosened, we got more into the nitty gritty about it as well.
Okay. I imagine you all have very expressive eyebrows these days.
Yes, yes.
How do you feel about it performing outside in public with distractions around?
It's quite a challenge, specifically here where we have, you know, cars going by and the park right next to it. We sort of have decided to treat any outside noise that might drown out the dialogue as like a laugh, sort of like a pause, wait for it to subside, and then keep going afterward.
Okay.
To sort of help make sure nothing gets missed, but it is like a very unique challenge having this much noise around. It's very much a children's show. Like,
okay,
a lot of it is oriented for kids. We have the clowns who are there to just try to entertain, and they'll probably be a crowd pleaser. I really want to drive home that we got a really talented cast, and we have a very young actor who is doing her first show ever, and it's going to be this one.
Okay.
So, like, if you can come out, just try to enjoy yourself.
A Banishment of Poets is just over an hour long and will run from Thursday, August 12th to Sunday, August 15th. The show starts at 3 p.m. each day. People are encouraged to bring their own seating, sunscreen, and water. Festival by the Marsh launched this past weekend and continues today with the opening of A Midsummer Night's Dream performed on site at Fort Beauséjour. That's it for CHMA's Tantramar Report for this Wednesday, August 11th. As always, for story ideas, tips, or feedback, contact us at news@chmafm.com. I'm Erica Butler. Thanks for listening.